kids that come to our camp, you know, I tell them, I'm like, look, if we're in there to see you, we watch you from the second you get out of your car, the second you get back in your car. You know, we're watching how you treat your parents. We're watching what you do pregame. We're watching what you eat at the concession stand. You know, all those things, they're all important.
No good player has ever said, well, who else is going to be the shortstop? The best players just say, sign who you want. I'm going to beat them, right?
And the other thing for baseball players, if you want to be a great baseball player and play at the highest levels, then be an athlete first.
Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, where the coaches hang out with Walter. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. If it has to do with baseball, it has to be in the book. The question for you, are you in the book? Now let's join our host, Walter Beattie. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner, where each week Coach Dave Serrano and myself spend time chatting with college coaches all around the country, and we discover a little bit about not only their individual school, their coaching staff, but also the conference that they coach within. Want to remind everybody, whether you're listening on our podcast or watching here on the YouTube channel, go ahead and hit the subscription button. Free. It doesn't cost anything. Simply alerts you to when new content is put onto the page so that you can find your way to that. Today, we are fortunate to be joined by a coach from the very prestigious Patriot League Conference, particularly Lafayette College, head coach A.J. Miller. And AJ, you might say that you are a Leopard to the core. You're a former Leopard player, student athlete, and now ultimately the head coach. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no, thank you, Walter. The Leopard spots definitely run deep within me and my family, and I appreciate you having me on today. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Well, Lafayette is a school that I began to know a great deal about way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth in the late 70s, early 80s. Had a few friends that played football in that conference out of high school, and I knew that they also played baseball, one in particular. So the Patriot League for me, Holy Cross being very near to me, and as well as the military academies, Annapolis and West Point. But I'd love for you to share a little bit about the depth of the conference of the Patriot League, because, you know, with Bucknell and Coach Heather and Army and Navy, Lafayette, Lehigh, Holy Cross, Eddie at Holy Cross, it's really a tremendous, not only academic conference, but athletic conference as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a unique conference, right? And one that, you know, all the schools, very high academic, small conference, right? There's only six schools that compete on the baseball side of things. I think one of the things that's also pretty unique is all the coaches are pretty close, right? And that we all get along very well. We all consider each other friends. And there's, you know, ongoing conversations on and off the field between all of us. But the unique part, too, is, you know, you mentioned, you know, you have Army, West Point, you have Navy in our conference, right? And they're obviously a little bit different in just how they're structured and who they are, but obviously phenomenal academic institutions. But that, you know, in itself, the combination of academics and athletics that the conference presents is unique, right? And, you know, I'm fortunate to have played in this conference. I'm fortunate to have coached in it, you know, 7 years at Lehigh and now my second year here at Lafayette. Pretty familiar with the conference. Some may say it's all I know, and I'm a lifer, but no, just fortunate to be here, fortunate to have played in it, and have learned and grown in it.
Well, I would love your perspective from a, you know, as far as the academic requirements for a Lafayette in this particular instance, what does that do with regard to your recruiting? Is that something that you have to check that box off before you initiate recruiting with a student athlete? How does that work specifically for your program?
Yeah, you know, I think it is, it's probably different amongst all the schools, just in terms of what the process is. And obviously that's something I had to learn fairly quickly last year, But it's not too far off from, you know, where I came from. You know, for us, obviously the academic side is big, right? We can't just go out on the road and recruit. And if we see somebody we like, just offer them a spot, right? You know, that's those opportunities aren't present at a school like Lafayette. So for us, you know, making sure that an academic pre-read is done prior to really any other conversations happening is important. So for us, that's the very first thing we do, right? If we identify a prospective student athlete that we really like, you know, the first time we're on the phone with them, we get that academic information and we present it to our admissions department. And if it's a fit, then we continue conversations. If it's not, we let them know when we move on, right? And the reason for that, doing that immediately, is I don't want to waste time for the student athlete. I don't want to waste time for us as coaches. You know, the process can be drawn out. And I just remember that as a player when I was going through it. You know, with some schools, it felt like it took forever to get an answer. And whether it's the academics took a while or was I not the top choice, I just remember that process being drawn out, and it could be very, very frustrating. So for us, and, you know, my recruiting style with me, my staff, we find that out very early on. And if you're fit and we like you, we go forward and hopefully we can get to the end of the road where a decision is made. But it's the very first thing we do. We find out if you're a fit academically, and if you are, then we take the next steps.
Well, one of the things I want to do is I want to take a step back, because a lot of parents, they want to ask me about what is a pre-read, yeah, and what is a supported application. In other words, do you have X number that vary year to year as far as the amount of applications that you can support as a athletic staff, a baseball staff? I know parents are always asking me that specific question.
Yeah, not necessarily. Essentially, what I do a year in advance of recruiting a specific class is I let our admissions department know roughly how many bodies I'm looking to bring in based off of what we're losing. So we try to project out. And from there, that's kind of how we operate, right? And as we get near that number, they'll remind me as well, right? And, you know, hey, like you said, you were bringing in eight, you just submitted a ninth kid. And, you know, the conversations can happen, but there's not slots per se. You hear the term, schools have a certain amount of slots. It's really, you know, we recruit to what we are losing, what we project to lose, and what we need to bring in. And all of that is communicated well in advance. But yeah, there's not a certain number of people that we're allowed to support or bring in. But that being said, all of them have to have the grade requirements to be accepted. So there's not, if somebody's below the average, they're not going to get in. They need to fit.
So as far as the athletic component is concerned, what jumps out at you? Some coaches, it's the physicality. Some coaches, it's the skill. For you specifically, being a former player at Lafayette, now as a head coach, when you're out, are you looking for the best available athlete? Are you position specific? What jumps out to you when you're recruiting?
I think it depends year to year. I think it's a combination of kind of everything that you just said. I think in my time as a recruiter, and now as a head coach, what I've really learned and what we preach as a staff to families and prospective student athletes is, yeah, we want the physical player, right? Of course we want the best player possible, right? We're not going to recruit B-level players and hope they turn to something great. Okay. But for us, you know, the thing I stress the most is I want obviously the best player, but I also want the best person. You know, the thing I say all the time and my staff, you know, pokes fun at me is I spend more time with the players on my team than I do my own family and my kids. So if I were to go home on any given day and say to my wife, oh, I can't stand this kid, he's driving me nuts, I just don't want him around, I hate being around him, my wife would be mad, and she has every right to be mad. I'm surrounding myself with people that I don't like, people that don't have the same values and beliefs as me. So a big component to how I recruit and how we recruit is we have to like you. We have to jive. We have to get along. We have to have the same vision, passion, belief in what we're doing. And if that's the case, then you're a part of my family, because my family is going to be around. My assistant staff, their families are around. It's one big family. And, you know, that's really what it is. And that's what I value a lot. So that box for me is one of the biggest. Right. And, you know, I also say, too, like, you could be the greatest kid in the world. You still have to be good at baseball to come play here. Right. But that is a big component for me. I have to enjoy you. Like, you just, at the end of the day, you have to be a good person.
Well, I would really like you to talk, you know, from both a former player perspective and now, you know, going into what is possibly your ninth year as a college coach. Talk about those 4 years as a college student athlete over and above the athletic side, meaning it's your last 4 years of being a part of something meaningful, significant. A lot of your teammates and coaches you'll know and chat with for the rest of your life. Some will become best men at your wedding or godparents, etc. Can you just talk about those 4 to 5 years as a college athlete and how significant they of a role they play within your development as a man?
Yeah, I mean, it completely transformed and impacted my life. You know, I grew up down the Jersey Shore, grew up on the beach. You know, I was a surfer, and I joke with, you know, our guys, I wore board shorts and flip-flops and tank tops to school. And, you know, I come here, it was a culture shock, no doubt. And school was hard, you know, harder than I thought it would be. And there was an adjustment period there, no doubt. But what the 4 years here did for me was it made me into the person I am today. And part of that was the school. A big part of it was the teammates that I played with. And like you said, they were all, you know, a part of my wedding party. And our right fielder was the best man in my wedding. And I talked to all of them still almost every day. And the other part was the coaching staff. You know, they made me into the man, the father, the coach that I am today. I give them a lot of credit, and that's Joe Kenny and Greg Dura and Rick Claggett. And, you know, Greg Dura, you know, I brought him back on staff this year, so he's back with us. So it's awesome to, you know, have that come full circle. But it was the best decision I've made outside of asking my wife to marry me to date. And, you know, part of that was I met my wife here, right? And, you know, I share that with families that I sit down with here in my office. The choice you make and where you pick, it's not just the 4-year baseball decision. It's a 40-year or life decision. It's going to impact you for the rest of your life. And you want it to be more than just baseball. It needs to be greater than that. And it was for me. Right. Yeah. Baseball is a big part, no doubt. And, you know, I had my success on the field and, you know, had tremendous time with my teammates, but it was so much more than that. And that's why this place is so special to me.
You know, and just for a point of edification here, you know, AJ wouldn't say it, but he was conference player of the year, you know, in 2011. And so this is someone that has a deeper understanding of being a college student athlete. And I really want to ask on that note, when you're out recruiting, do you try to get parents and more importantly, student athletes to understand this is a bigger than baseball decision? There is, everybody has those dreams and aspirations about playing after college, but really for the vast majority, let's say 98% of college student athletes, it's at the end of the line. You know, professional baseball, especially in light of the fact of contraction and lesser rounds and less number of guys getting opportunity, college is really a little bit more meaningful when you recognize the reality of life lies ahead after those 4 years. And baseball kind of takes a backseat. Can you talk a little bit about that with maybe some of your current student athletes that you've had over the last few years, when they come to that realization, oh boy, this is it. This is really it.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of going back to what your first you know, the first question, talking about how special this place is, right? Lafayette is a very close-knit, tight community. And I think what's special about here and, you know, probably all the Patriot League schools is that everybody that was a student athlete here that is in their professional career at this point understands that, right? And they want to hire athletes. There's a network here that is strong. It's tight. They want to support the place that they came from. You know, one of the coolest things for me is last year we brought back our networking night. We host an event in New York City in Central Park where we bring back, you know, in the past it was, you know, 30 to 40 alumni to come back, speak to our team, give our players an opportunity to network, create connections, potential job interviews or internships. And this past year we had, you know, close to 70 alumni come back. Wow. And, you know, speak to the team, and it was awesome. And again, it's because they were excited about this place. They're excited about where we're going and what we're doing. But more importantly, they're excited to give back their time, share their experiences, share what Lafayette did for them, show our players that when baseball ends, that doesn't mean life is over. Life is just starting. Baseball prepared you, and Lafayette prepared you and set you up to be the most successful you want to be. Right. That's what's special about, you know, a Patriot League school or an Ivy League school. If you can do both the academics and the athletics, you could do anything. And, you know, that's something I share with people. You know, I graduated from here with a degree in economics. You know, I was fortunate to play a little bit of baseball post college. But my first job, I was a civil engineer. You know, I wasn't an engineer here. I didn't major in it. I took one class and realized that, you know, the major probably wasn't for me, but the degree got me in the door. The degree got me the interview and essentially got me the job. I had a lot of success at it. Ultimately, I knew I wanted to get back into sports. I knew I wanted to get back into baseball and coaching. But it was the degree, it was the experience, and it's what baseball and the academics here prepared me to do.
Well, I think that is tremendously insightful. And then, of course, on the flip side, I always get asked when I start talking about Patriot League and Ivy League and NESCAC, well, what about professional baseball? Mm-hmm. And I always try to get parents to understand, take a look at the players drafted out of the Ivy. Take a look at the players drafted out of the Patriot League. And even in some cases, you know, you have some of the NESCAC kids. But, you know, if you're at Lafayette, I'm sure you send your guys out to summer leagues, summer college leagues. Where does the role of the high school athlete play, or what role does the high school athlete play with regard to your recruiting? I assume you're not too deep into the portal, but the high school athlete can attend a school such as Lafayette and still have those aspirations and dreams of playing professionally, correct?
No doubt. I mean, my, you know, there's a couple guys on our team now that certainly have the potential to do so. And, you know, we saw that at our scout day this fall. You know, we have David Bednar, who was drafted here in 2016. He's in the big leagues now. It's Pittsburgh Pirates. And, you know, my time at Lehigh, you know, I was fortunate enough to coach 9 players who were ultimately picked up and signed or drafted by professional teams, some of which will be big leaguers this year. And, you know, I think what you're starting to see more of is kids have the understanding that the degree lasts forever. At some point, baseball will end, whether it's after the 4 years or maybe it's 10 years post-college or after your major league career. Someone at some point is going to tell you, hey, you're not any good anymore. It's time to hang it up. but that piece of paper is going to last with you and go on with you for the rest of your life. And you're starting to see more kids, what I think, value that. And that's why you're starting to see a lot more high academic schools get more draft picks. The other piece is, you know, they're back to like the real world stuff. Like they're managing the academic workload and the day to day while also performing at the highest level. Like that's a character trait that scouts and professional teams want to see. And, you know, again, like the number of draft picks that I've worked with over the last couple of years, like, they're special kids, and they were doing both at a very, very high level.
Now, Do you prefer, or you or your staff prefer, emails with videos? Do you prefer social media interactions? How are prospective student athletes best served when they're trying to reach out to you or your staff?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, something that, you know, I've been asked a bunch, and I share this, right? I think social media is great. I think it's, you know, it's a tool for us as coaches to obviously see video, especially on Twitter. Like, it's important for us, right? And it's a way for us to keep tabs on kids, validate what we're seeing. The email component is obviously big as well. You know, I laugh when, you know, I get a ton of emails every single day. And, you know, the first ones I read are the ones that have that little paperclip icon in the line of the subject. And obviously what that means is there's an attachment. And when that paperclip icon isn't there, all I'm reading is words. And anybody can write anything, right? If it's just words, you're hiding behind a screen, right? It's like, Walter, if I emailed you and told you I'm a male model for Calvin Klein, and then we signed on to this interview, and you're like, okay, well, he was full of it, right? But the paperclip paints the picture of who you are. You know, it's substance, right? Whether that's video, a transcript, validated metrics, a schedule, coaches' contacts, all of those things start to sell who you are and paint the picture of who you are. And those are the first emails I read every single morning when I get in the office. And right, if somebody's taking the time to email me and put all that together, I'm going to take the time to read it and go through it and evaluate it. And if I like it, you know, I share it with the rest of my staff, or same thing with them. If they get an email that they really like, they share it with us. And we go through the process of, you know, vetting that student athlete and take it from there. You know, I think the other piece is you're seeing, you know, in my time as a coach, you know, early on recruiting, it was, you know, attend tournaments, attend these mass showcases. What you're seeing more of now is the importance of attending college specific camps.
Yes.
And because our time on the road has become less and less and less since I've started. Like I was telling one of my younger assistants the other day, I remember when I first got into it, we could recruit year round. I remember going to a showcase on Christmas Eve in upstate New York. And, you know, my wife, you know, at the time, just girlfriend, was like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is a good academic event. I got to go. Right. And now I think for the better, you know, the NCAA has put restrictions on the calendar and, you know, really created a quality of life for us as coaches, but that has changed our recruiting landscape. And I think college-specific camps have become more important. They certainly have for us, you know, at our level, because the other side of it is for us, it's a business, right? Travel and recruiting and the budget, like we have to operate within our means. And if we can host and run really efficient camps on campus, doesn't cost us a ton of money, and we could see kids that we like. And, you know, in the past year and a half that I've been here, we've taken a number of commitments out of our camps, almost one at least one at every single camp. And so that's a model that, you know, we're pushing more and more towards.
Well, I think camps are a two-way street. And I always have parents that'll push back and say, you know, Walt, you're always pushing camps. They're money grab. Yeah. No, that might have been the case a long time ago. But in today's college baseball landscape, you can go see the coaches, interact with the coaches. They get to know who you are, but more importantly, you get to know who they are. 100%. You kind of get an understanding of how they coach, how they disseminate information. You see the campus, you know where the cafeteria is, you know where the library, the dorms, etc. So camps are much more valuable than going for a week at a tournament and pick your state. And you're getting rained out two games. The coaches don't want to go to the high school fields. They want to stay on the main campus. So camps are definitely, absolutely, 100% the best way of showing sincere, genuine interest in attending a school by taking the time to go onto their campus. So I'm so glad that you were able to bring that up. The last question I want to kind of make sure I get out there, because I get asked it all the time. You know, I get the new August 1st, you know, the rising fall of your junior year, but specifically pertaining to Lafayette, when are you, you know, are you on the 25s now and you're kind of keeping a, an eye on the 26s, getting ready for August? How does this work with regard to you, you and your staff with regard to recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, how I recruited prior to these changes, I was a very aggressive recruiter and recruited very early just to, you know, we had to keep up with everybody else. I think the implementation of this deadline and this new rule has been awesome in that, you know, I don't necessarily have to get on the phone with, you know, 14 and 15 year olds and try to ask them to make a decision that, you know, we said it before, is going to impact them for the rest of their life. It makes me feel better. So for us, like, yeah, we're about halfway through 2025s. We have a handful of commitments. We're gathering names and lists of 26s and 27s that we like, and we'll continue to follow and watch develop and see how they turn out. And we hope, you know, our plan is to finish 25 by, you know, some point next fall. And I think that's kind of the timeline for most. And, you know, 'cause the thing you're seeing too, and you saw before this rule change, is kids, there's a lot of kids who develop late.
Correct.
And so that was part of where you saw the over-recruitment happening. And, you know, schools were taking kids late, but they already had so many kids. And then there's kids having to be released and cut. And that's where you're seeing transfers. I think this in time will help eliminate that because now people don't need to rush. We could evaluate a little bit more. We could sit on a kid a little bit more. And ultimately feel good that we made the right decision and not, you know, throw a net into the water and, you know, scoop up 10 and hope that five make it. Right. And so for us, I think we're kind of at the same spot. Most schools are, and you know, everybody handles it differently. But you know, I like to be right on target with the new timeline.
Well, I think it's refreshing to kind of hear, not only yourself, but other coaches talking about slowing the process down, really allowing these student athletes to develop physically and obviously mentally with regard to skill sets and instincts and so forth. So I think it's really great that parents get to hear from somebody of your stature and quality as a college coach. AJ, I want to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a busy time of year for you as a dad and as a husband. And as a coach, so I thank you very much. Dave sends along his happy holiday wishes as well. And if there's anything that we can do for you in the future, we greatly would, you know, we'd make sure that we made ourselves available in any way, shape, or form that, you know, maybe be of benefit to you. So thank you very much, and best of luck in the 2024 season.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. Happy holidays to you guys as well.
All right, and then parents, make sure you have any questions for Coach Miller. Leave them down below in the description in both the podcast as well as the YouTube. I'll make sure that we list all of Coach Miller's contact information, both on social media as well as direct email, so you can feel free to reach out directly. AJ, thank you very much, and all the best in the upcoming season.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.